Hello and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. And this is your weekly Locked On interview. Joining me today from Pirates Breakdown, co-editor, head of podcasting, a bit of hiatus, but hey, he's still there. It's Steve Kubitz. Steve, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Good to be back. Excited to be on a podcast for the first time in many, many months. So just excited to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, good to have you here. So I asked you beforehand what you wanted to talk about, and it was pretty instantaneous. On the first suggestion that you had was Hurdle and his lineup construction. I know it's a very hot topic right now, and you have a good take that I cannot argue against.
So I'm not one of those people that usually harps on the lineup. I remember in 2015, that was a real popular point of, you know, conjecture with Clint Hurdle was his lineups. Generally speaking, I defer to managers because, you know, they know more than I do. And I'm sure he knows more than I do in this instance. But something I noticed in the National Series is that when he would play somebody like Max Moroff in the lineup, he'd put him in the same position of the position he replaced. So, Sean Rodriguez was leading off when he played second base. Max Moroff led off playing second base, I guess because Josh Harrison usually leads off and plays second base. I'd love to just tell Clint, hey, man, you can play people wherever you want them. You don't got to just because second base doesn't have to be a leadoff hitter. You know, it's okay. You can bat him. You can bat Max Moroff lower in the order. Probably benefit him a little more. But that just annoyed me to no end because I felt like, you know, especially Moroff is a little more forgivable, but especially when I saw Sean Rodriguez batting first, leading off, and then batting third in the lineup, like it was just mind-numbingly weird. It's a weird decision, and it hurt the lineup overall, and I think the series result speaks for itself, you know, getting swept in four games by a team that came in playing, you know, mostly okay baseball. The Nationals have kind of been underachieving a little bit so far this year. I mean, it's early, not even 30 games into the season yet, but that was a tough series. That's sort of a tough, getting swept is bad enough. Getting swept in four games always feels a lot more like a gut punch because, you know, four games is a lot. You know, I know it's only one more, but it feels like a much worse loss in my opinion. I don't know how you feel, but that's how I feel. And I think a lot of that plays into the fact that Clint Hurdle really didn't construct the best possible lineup in maybe any of the four games. I mean, two of them were blowouts, and two of them were close, hard-fought, kind of just disappointing losses. So it was an annoying series. Not the most annoying Pittsburgh-Washington series going on right now, but nonetheless, an annoying one.
Yeah, as we say, it is nothing-nothing in the second period of a certain Penguins-Capitals game. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm on the record for being a Moroff fan, and even though he has a good walk rate, he's only has a handful of major league at-bats still. I mean, I don't know if that really translates to being a leadoff hitter just because you play second base. Game four of this series, I think, is a great example. Josh Bell needed a day, that's fine. But Hurdle put David Freese at first base, and he put him batting fourth because your first baseman bats fourth for him. David Freese against starting pitcher Jeremy Hellickson was a career 1-for-14 hitter coming into the day, and then he went 0-for-2. So I know Hurdle said that he wants to minimize different lineups, but at some point you've got to play the situation, especially whenever you have an injury to Josh Harrison for a long period of time. It's like, okay, well, now here's our chance to mix it up.
It's one of those things. I like David Freese. I'm not anti David Freese. He's a good ball player, a good bench bat. Why bat him fourth? That made no sense to me. That's a good point. I completely forgot he was batting fourth today. I just don't get that decision just because he's playing first. You know, it's like, I'm going to throw back a little bit when in 2013 when they brought in Justin Morneau and they batted him cleanup despite the fact that he just had no power whatsoever. Not that Freeze has no power, but the dude is not, even at his best in his prime, wasn't a four hitter. I mean, in his prime with, you know, the Cardinals and, you know, the Angels, he'd get the occasional home run, 12, 15 homers in a season. Good, you know, good, solid, above-average power. But, you know, you want your masher batting fourth. You don't want a guy that, you know, for the most part, is just a lot, sort of a above-average line drive hitter. And that's a weird decision. And I'm not saying it cost them the game today, because a lot of things cost them the game today. But mostly pitching to Bryce Harper cost them most of the games in that series. But, you know, this one was just, it's hard to swallow. It's a weird, you know, Clint used to just be so into, like, tinkering with lineups and, you know, for God's sakes, the dude started Sean Rodriguez in a wild card game. So, like, the dude's not above messing around and doing whatever he wants to name with sticks. So it's weird to me that he seems so, like, copy and paste with this so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, the Bryce Harper, I think you hit the nail on the head. He was the reason why this was a pretty fruitless trip to Washington. Let's get your theories or your feelings on this series as a whole, because this is the second straight road series where the Pirates were swept in four games. Are you worried at all about this team as a whole, or at the very least their performance on the road?
It's hard not to be a little concerned. I will say this, and I've always preached this, and I'll continue to preach it. You're never as bad as you look at your worst, and you're never as good as you look at your best. And the Pirates are not is going to be that bad on the road the entire year. I'd be very stunned if they're this bad on the road all season. So I'm not overly concerned. I said at the beginning of the year, I don't think this is, you know, a particularly great team either way. So, like, you know, I it was great to see the hot start, and I'm still excited about the prospect of what they look this season so far. But I'm not, to me, to be a cause for concern would be a team that you expected to be really good, being swept on the road, you know, two straight four-game sweeps on the road. Like, if this happened to the Dodgers, for example, you know, which they have their own problems, but that'd be a more, you know, cause for concern. For the Pirates, like, I don't know how many people are really picking them to be above, like, a 75, you know, 80 wins team. So can you really be concerned? It's more or less just, you know, they kind of got a little normalized a little bit. And I think they'll be all right. I still think they're a little better than maybe some people give them credit for. But, no, I'm not concerned yet. It's still very early. And, they, you know, the teams that swept them are two pretty good ball clubs. I mean, the Phillies, you know, so far played pretty well. We'll see, what they're at the end of the year. But I think they're, tied for first? They're close to first in the East right now. And the Nationals are a team that a lot of people pick to go to the World Series. So we know they're going to be good. And they have maybe the best player in the National League on their roster, and you know, look at what Bryce Harper can do to you. You know, you give him enough opportunities. Like I think it was Jason tweeted it out last night, or someone tweeted it out, that having Ivan Nova face Bryce Harper four times in the first five innings of a game is a really bold strategy, and clearly it didn't work.
Yeah, and one more thing I want to build off of: the teams that they have been swept by are two NL East teams. Meanwhile, I mean, you could say, well, the Pirates, you know, their record is aided by a 5-1 record against the Detroit Tigers, but the games that they have to win, the games in the division that they traditionally have not won, they took 2 out of 3 in Chicago, 3 out of 4 against the Reds, they swept the Cards, and now they're going to the real road series in Milwaukee. Not saying that, you know, one game is technically more important than the others, but if you have to win only one of those series, you want it to be in the division, because you can't compete in the division if you can't beat the division. It's what cost them the, you know, best record in baseball in 2015.
That's been their sort of Achilles heel for most of the, I mean, really almost all of Clint Hurdle's tenure as Pirates manager. Is that they seem to struggle in division. Like, they played okay against the Cardinals. They always kind of split with the Cardinals, like, most years. The Cubs have kind of, you know, tail two, you know, halves. When they're rebuilding, the Pirates kind of beat up on them a little bit. But the Reds always kind of own the Pirates. We know what going to Milwaukee, it should always make every Pirate fan a little nervous. We know what the Brewers have done in Miller Park, you know, traditionally. It's been a little better the last few years, but you know, you're lying to yourself. You're not a little nervous going into the series, especially coming off getting swept, you know, in four games against the Nationals. So I feel like, you know, if you're going to pit, you know, you want to beat everyone. That's the ideal scenario. But we saw what happens to a team that can beat up on every single team in the league, but they can't beat their own division. It never ends well. So I'm not saying it's not good to struggle against, you know, your own, you know, anyone. But, you know, we're not going to play the NL East that much. So at the end of the day, it's more of just a blip on the radar than it is like something to really be worried about. If they consistently get beat up by Milwaukee, Cincinnati, Chicago, St. Louis, yeah, you should be worried because those are the teams you play, you know, 30 times a year, whatever times a year.
So about a week ago, I don't think we've addressed this on Locked On Pirates yet, so I feel like now would be a fairly good time. You tweeted back on April 26th, four simple words: Korean Jesus is back, and several exclamation points right after it. I mean, Gung, I have some reservations, even going beyond the off-the-field problems, just for he hasn't seen a pitch in North America in over 18 months. He went down to the Dominican League. He did absolutely horrendous down there. But are you at all more optimistic than I guess I am? Because I don't really expect much this year from him. I don't even know if he'll even make the team this year.
So I'm excited to see him back. I'm not too particularly worried about what happened in the Dominican Republic, because if you saw what the problem was, you know, he came from a pro league in Korea. That's a fact. The professionals, you know, they have really good travel accommodations. You know, it's not quite major league level, but it's above almost any minor league level.
It's why we're seeing so many players from the KBO come straight to the major leagues. They don't have to. It's probably third highest ranked league right now behind Major League Baseball in Japan.
Absolutely. So he went from right to the KBL right to the major league. So he literally never had to worry about riding the bus, as they say. He goes to Dominican Republic, where, you know, it's a good league. It's a good developmental league. You know, I know a guy that had, you know, pitched in it, you know, a couple years ago, and it's hard. It's rough. You don't get, your meals aren't great. It's pretty inconsistent. You make almost no money. He lost, I think, like 12 or 15 pounds in like 10 days. I don't, you know, that sounds great to most people because you're like, oh, sweet, you know, crash dieting. But for a professional athlete whose livelihood is working out and being physically fit, that's a lot to overcome. So his struggles down there to me were a lot of just, not to make excuses for them, but were a lot of just he physically wasn't able to adjust to sort of the minor league lifestyle. And I actually guarantee you, I would expect that if he'd started in AAA Indianapolis or like AA Altoona, he would have saw the same struggles because he goes from the pro league in, you know, Korea, you know, to where, you know, your meals are good, you're getting consistently fed, you have good workout, you know, accommodations. And then you go to a league where you're eating McDonald's or, you know, Chick-fil-A or, you know, Chipotle, seldomly. And you get a good, you know, good meal, and then you go. That's hard. It's hard to adjust to that for anyone, much less a guy that's used to sort of, you know, sort of big league lifestyle. So I'm not overly concerned. I'm, you know, it's funny when you said you. Anytime someone goes back to my Twitter, I'm always really nervous about what they're going to find. Not that I particularly tweet anything. Like, I'm not tweeting anything too offensive, but I'm always nervous. I was waiting for, oh God, what did I say? I'm looking back, thinking about my tweets, but I'm excited. I think that it's. I'm also a little excited because, you know, this is an issue that sort of hopefully works itself out by then, but a certain Pirate first baseman has struggled offensively, Josh Bell, and if the worst comes to worst, maybe you can slot, maybe, I'm not sure if he's ever played there, maybe Colin Moran shifts over across the diamond, and then you have Jungho Gung playing third base again. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I mean, hopefully Josh Bell bounces back and does what he's capable of and what he did last year, but, you know, I like to see what you say come July or August, whenever he comes up, hopefully two things happen. Hopefully the team's still in a pennant race, and hopefully this just adds to a good team depth. Not, he's not replacing someone as on an emergency situation, because I really want to see him ease into sort of playing again. I mean, they almost have to baby him more than they did last time, and they kind of not threw him to the wolves, but I mean, he became one of the best rookies in baseball when he first came up in 2015. So I'm very curious to see how he adjusts to this second chance. And in some cases, it's kind of his third chance, so we'll see what happens.
I didn't even think about the Colin Moran idea. I mean, that he has a good glove. I mean, it's been his range that's been the concern with him over at third base, so I could see him flipping the diamond at some point at first. Obviously, you want to stick with Josh, but if the team's hanging around, come playoff chase time, and Josh Bell still isn't hitting, I mean, he's... Last time I checked, negative 0.3 war-ish. That's not a very good month, but it is just a month. He had a good year last year. Let's see if he can turn it around before we give him a death sentence and we put, you know, a guy who's on the restricted list back at third base and put your rookie third baseman out of position. But I like that idea. I will say I am, at the very least, intrigued by it.
That's what I do. I'm here to intrigue people and just, you know... spit out hot takes and tweet about Korean Jesus.
But not know exactly what you put on your Twitter leading to...
Because I also said that day that I was more excited for Jungho Gung coming back than I was Infinity War. So, I mean, I said a lot of things on Twitter.
Woo! That was a hot take.
You know, it's. I mean, I will say this, though, in retrospect, Infinity War is probably a little more exciting, for being completely honest with ourselves.
I think I'd get in trouble if I gave a lot of feelings on that, so I should probably get wrapping this up instead. Steve, thanks for being on the show. Where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on the old tweet box at Steve Kubitz. You can also follow me on Instagram under the same name if you want to see me post pictures of my pug. Other than that, obviously, sometimes find my little bit of writing on piratesbreakdown.com. I'm hoping to sort of, you know, ease back into being, I really want to be more active on it. And just in general, I love talking baseball. I love talking to Pirates. So hoping to come back. And it's been really fun. You know, Alex, thank you for letting me be on this podcast. I really do appreciate it. And it was fun. Fun to talk baseball again.
Hey, I had fun too. Thanks again for being on.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Everyone should follow you and find all those old tweets that you apparently regret already. Assuming you don't go on a big Kanye delete everything before you regret it tour tonight. You got about 12 hours before this goes live, so this is your chance.
I had nothing. I hope they find all
right.
Controversy.
I can respect that. Thanks again, Steve. For Locked On Pirates, this is Alex Stumpf. We'll catch you next week.